Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm Jerry Callahan from the Jerry Callahan Podcast, and I'm taking the Buffalo Bills to beat the New England Patriots. BetOnline has free odds and lines available online or on your mobile device. Visit betonline.net today.
Southern California is synonymous with driving. And since you can expect to put a lot of miles on your car each day, MPGs matter. So Toyota offers a full line of fuel-efficient hybrid cars. Leading the way is, of course, the groundbreaking Prius. But Toyota doesn't stop there. Their hybrid lineup also includes the reliable Camry hybrid, the sporty RAV4 hybrid, and the spacious Highlander hybrid, which means less time at the gas station and more thought to the environment. Visit buyatoyota.com to learn more. Your Southern California Toyota dealers make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Do not get me started.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Do not get me started. This now leaves the Jets on the outside looking in.
Okay, so I wake up. Oh, knock on wood if you're with me.
Congrats.
Thank goodness, right? I wake up.
Thank God for that.
And I do what I do every day here in the world of having to sit in a chair like this and know what's going on in the sports world best I can. I reach for my phone and I look at Twitter. Okay? And then I notice that the name Bob Costas is trending, and you could knock me over with a feather. Then when I find out why Bob is trending, that feather could knock me through to the center of the universe. Is that there's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio, and you begin to think something could be up, because it says former NBC Sports broadcaster, 21-time Emmy Award winner, 11-time Olympic host, president and sole member of the BCFC Bob Costas fan club. Doesn't sound like Bob.
No. Bob has a unique sense of humor, so, you know, you never know.
It doesn't sound like Bob. Sure enough, we find out it's not Bob. None other than his son, Keith, is on Twitter. Then his son, Keith Olbermann's on Twitter saying it's not him. Many people who have ultimate respect in this business saying it is not him. So I wanted to make sure that we're all buttoned up and inviting here on the Rich Eisen Show to discuss this very subject is none other than the real, actual, 100% authentic Bob Costas. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich, and it's appropriate that I would be on with you because you have chided me now and then good-naturedly. Are you on Twitter yet? What would it take? What would have to happen before you were ever on Twitter? And late last night, and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true, and one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deigned to be on Twitter? What, like binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County? Hire Rudy Giuliani as my personal attorney? Make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a Pink Eye episode? Star in a sequel to Basketball? Or just for you, Rich?
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
I mean, a prequel to Basketball would be pretty epic.
Prequel. I like it.
Yeah. You know what? I have to admit that. If the Zucker brothers asked me to do a sequel, especially with Al Michaels at my side, the Basketball, it must be done. I owe it to the American public. Same thing if Lance Crowther and Chris Rock say, we're going back to the well with Pootie Tang.
Sadate.
Wadate, my brother. Wadate.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah.
Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, of all the things in the world, So your son tweeted it out that this is not you. And then he did actually add some sort of caveat to make sure that just in case my dad is, you know, had a complete transformation personality in the last 12 hours. But there he is. By the way, your son's avatar, I don't know if you're aware of this, Bob, on Twitter.
I am.
Okay. His avatar is Willie McGee, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, because he grew up in St. Louis, and when he was a kid and first loving baseball, Willie McGee was a big star with the Cardinals. He's beloved in St. Louis, so Willie McGee is his avatar. Keith doesn't go on Twitter very much, but in this case, he had to rush to his Twitter account to set the record.
But it does appear that he did text you the screen grab of the Twitter account asking you what you want for Christmas. That's what that looks like. He put up on his page. Right there, Bob.
Which makes no sense, because ordinarily he would just call me or text me.
There you go.
With that question.
Okay, very good. Now, for is the one tweet that came out from the fake Bob Costas, as you, that to me indicated 1,000% this was not you. Are you aware of what this person was tweeting out in your name, Bob?
Not really, except when I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me.
Yes.
One tip-off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly.
I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
Right? You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row.
That is fantastic. No, he tweeted out.
21 seemed light.
He tweeted out this person, tweeted out the real Bob Costas' NFL power rankings, 1 through 5 currently in the NFL. Which to me is.
That actually shows that he might have.
Yes.
Maybe it's a she. Who knows? This person might actually have a twisted sense of humor. Because as you know, Rich. With all due respect to my past history with it, to all the people in the NFL I admire and respect, you know that I have no idea how to rank teams 1 through 5 in 2020 in the NFL. If my life depended on naming the coach of every NFL team and their starting quarterback, I'd begin making out my will and testament.
And the account's down now, and this sorted episode is now complete, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What a dark day it was.
Although I'll tell you this, though, Bob, we've been talking about it here. We think this is the crowning achievement of your career. We think this is the cap. This is the capstone of the career. This is essentially your EGOT, okay? You have the Emmys, 28 of them, right, to be accurate. You've got that's the E. The G is we decided to go with the Gowdy Award to prove that you're not in just one but two professional sports halls of fame. Okay. That's the one that you got. Okay.
Yes.
The O is Olympics, right? And T is Twitter impersonation. I mean, that's
wow.
That's it. That's your EGOT, Bob. Yeah, what do you think?
That's pretty very clever, and that pretty much does finish it out. I ought to think of this like Ted Williams' homer in his last at-bat, like Jordan's final shot for the Bulls in Utah to win the title. This is like walk-off stuff. You don't come back out. There's no encore. It's over. It's like Johnny Carson. He never came back.
That's right.
He bid everybody a very heartfelt good night.
That's
they
right.
all wondered what he'd do next.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
And whoever created @real_Bob Costas is like the Bette Midler singing you out, pretty much, is what you're saying. Right there.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Oh, by gosh.
I'm now looking at it in an entirely different light.
See, that's what I figured you should do. Bob, I appreciate the time. It is not you. That was never you. It would never be you. Does that sum it up?
Pretty much.
All right, Bob. Best to Jill. Thanks for the call. You take care.
All right. Best to Susie. Thank you. Happy holidays.
You see me. There's Bob Costas, everybody. That's the real one. I have not laughed that hard in quite some time.
That's great.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? This holiday weekend, Amazon Prime Video is the place to watch the NFL live with back-to-back games on Friday, Christmas Day. The Vikings take on the Saints in an NFL Christmas special. Then, on Saturday, the 49ers face the Cardinals in a division showdown only on Prime Video. Not an Amazon Prime member? Don't worry. Sign up for a 30-day free trial, and you'll get both games, and you can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. So, this holiday weekend, relax, tune in, and enjoy the NFL on Prime Video. Friday, Vikings Saints. Saturday, 49ers Cardinals. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on both games, with kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, both on Prime Video.
Friday's game is also available on NFL Network and Fox. Simulcast subject to change. Presented by Bud Light Platinum. Also available on mobile and in select markets.
Time to turn back to the guest line. One of my favorites. I've known this man for quite some time. Last time I saw him was at the NFL Honors at the Super Bowl. Feels like 19 years ago. It was great to see this guy then, and it'll be great to see him in Wild Mountain Time, available in theaters and on demand this very Friday, December 11th, with Emily Blunt, Jamie Dornan, Christopher Walken, and this man, John Hamm. How are you, John?
Hey-o! What a nice tee up. That was amazing.
John, it's what I do for a living. You know what I mean? It's what I do for a living.
You do it well.
Tee it up and set it up and do all of that stuff. And
I guess it's a good segue for me to promote my new job, defensive coordinator for the New York Jets.
Hey!
John Hamm is going to be bringing the heat when appropriate, not say, you know, when the heat was just brought.
The only thing that could beat you is to be beat deep on a double move that you fight on somehow. I don't know. I'm sure that's been dissected backwards and forwards.
Yes.
We've got football on Tuesday afternoons. The world is upside down, you guys.
They literally, you have to think about it, John. If the Jets had taken all 11 of their defenders and lied them down on the goal line, head to, you know,
they win the game.
Just in case, Henry Ruggs would have had to maybe trip over them, you know, and he would have been out of
the game.
You know what I mean? Just that would have been a better defensive posture, I think.
It was a curious call. it begs the question, how bad do you want a quarterback from Clemson?
Well, I can answer that question, John, badly. Very, very badly.
Clearly,
yes.
I don't know. The world's upside down. You said it correctly, Rich. It seems like the Super Bowl, which was less than a year ago,
right,
seemed like it was in the 40s.
I know. But that was a fun night. I mean, and it's not your first NFL Honors rodeo as well. You know, you've been around a lot of people of note in your lifetime, John, but that is pretty cool to be back there, right, for an NFL Honors?
Yeah, it's always cool to meet those guys, and especially when you get the, like, young guys and how wide-eyed and amazed they all are. And weirdly enough, Zeke Elliott, who I had never met before, although we did go to the same high school, I got to meet him that night and to ask him how it felt to be the second most popular person from our high school.
And how do you take that one?
You got a chuckle out of that, so I thought that was nice. We both won the same amount of championships, so I feel like we're good.
Now, was that a courtesy chuckle, or did he really find that funny, do you think, John?
I mean, I'm going to go with he really thought it was funny.
Okay. So I remember
back out of the conversation very quickly.
Yes, because I remember Kyler Murray was back there, Peyton Manning was back there. I mean, everyone was back there.
Yeah, we had Favre was there. It's such a good group. It feels like you're kind of crashing a really cool summer camp reunion of a camp that you had no business at.
and then it's time for you to actually, you know, go out on stage, and you're like, really, do I have to go? Because you just don't want to leave that room.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool back there.
Well, the weird thing is, like, as soon as, like, the state, like, going out and presenting,
yes,
that's when I'm like, oh, I feel fine doing this. And that's when all of the athletes start going, like, oh, I'm not really comfortable talking in front of people. And you're like, well, don't worry about it. I got this part. You do the part where you throw the ball and you block and you tackle, and I'll do this.
John Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you? I ask you this. I forget it. Are you a Cardinals guy, like, still in Arizona, or because of the St. Louis thing, or do you have a football team? Is it the Broncos or something like that? I'm trying to remember what you told me once.
I confronted Roger Goodell once.
Okay.
As we've all imagined in our minds,
yes,
doing. I said, you've successfully taken two franchises from my city, and I want retribution. So my retribution is simply rooting for the Chiefs. I've just pushed it to the west side of the state. Most people don't realize this, but Kansas City is in fact in Missouri, and I can do that with impunity. And the fact that they're super good right now has nothing to do with my allegiance.
That's what I was to say. Is like, did you make that maneuver? You know, when? I mean, you got to make sure here.
It didn't hurt that Mahomes exploded right around the time I was decided to become a Chiefs fan. It certainly didn't hurt. And who doesn't like Andy Reid? I mean, come on.
I know.
So, I guess it's a combination.
Well, you know, and again, your St. Louis credentials are rock solid, John. There's no doubt about that. And I'd like to bring up one thing that we talked about the last time here on the new audience for the show here on Peacock is you rocking a St. Louis Cardinals baseball hat to a World Series game at Wrigley Field. And how did that go for you, John, that night?
Well, it was a controversial statement for some people. I didn't really mean anything by it other than I certainly wasn't going to wear a Cubs hat. I needed a hat.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to wear an Indians hat. I mean, what hat? I explained it to quite a few Cubs fans on the day who, when, you know, like most things, it's easy to get your dander up when you're screaming anonymously on the radio or in a comment section. But when you speak to somebody in person, you generally, you know, the cooler heads prevail. So in person, when I spoke to people, it was, well, of course you're going to wear your Cardinal fan. That's fine. We're very happy for you. With the exception of one very particular Cubs fan who took my hat off and threw it over the wall and into the alley of the bar that we were all in. And that Cubs fan was Bill Murray.
Okay. Now then, when did you realize it was Bill Murray? Did you have like a flash of indignity and like
fisticuffs
coming?
I was very aware that Billy was there because I was. It was after Game 5, which they won, and we were myself, Joel Murray, who was a co-star on Mad Men with me and a very good friend of mine, as well as you know the Murray clan runs pretty deep. Although they did lose their oldest brother this year, rest in peace. They run about six or seven siblings in that family. There's a Brian Doyle.
Yes.
There's a Joel. There's several Murrays. Chad Michael. I'm not sure if he's related.
great reference, John.
So, that's great. I believe one of their sisters was there that night. It was a party. It was very exciting. Chris Chelios was there. Eddie Vedder was there.
Damn.
Chicago royalty was out in force that night, and I was there with one of my managers who's from the South Side of Chicago, another friend of mine who flew in to see the game, and so it was a very celebratory evening, and I was wearing my hat and people were singing and karaokeing and dancing. We're all in sort of the back outside space of a bar right near Wrigley, and Billy, who I had met on several occasions, and I wouldn't say that I know well, but I definitely know enough to say hi, said hi in a sort of a jubilant, dancing, excited way. And at the same time said, get this goddamn hat off your head, and plucked it off the top of my head and kind of reverse tossed it over the wall into the alley. And then I watched it sort of sail into the night, and I thought, well, I guess I'll never see that again. And I followed it down, and I looked to the left on the wall that had thrown it over, and there was a door to the alley. So I just opened the door, and I took three steps out and picked my hat up off the ground and put it back on my head and walked up into the party. Now,
that's fandom, sir. Yes.
The end of the story is even better because up to maybe a year or so later, and now this whole story has been, you know, printed in the Chicago Tribune.
Yes.
John Hamm is punking the Cubs by wearing a hat from the Cardinals. It's from the – none of this I knew. I just wore the hat because I thought it was cool. I got it on a photo shoot. So I'm hosting an event for the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Illinois, based in Chicago. Now, I'm not from Illinois. I'm from St. Louis, but there's a friendly rivalry, yada, yada. Here we are. So part of the thing is a live auction. And so one of the things was I said I would auction off the hat that I wore to the World Series. You can blow it up like the Steve Bartman ball. You can run it over with a truck. You can give it to your friend from St. Louis. Whatever you want to do, it's all for the kids. I'm very happy to do it. And I think it sold for like $5,000 or $6,000. So somebody had in the audience had a real grudge against that hat, or is wearing it today. I don't know.
So I guess the moral of the story is that if your hat gets thrown off of your head by anybody, it could be comedy, film royalty, television, comedy, film royalty, or anyone, and it's thrown into some sort of Chicago street water stream, pick up the hat, put it back on your head, because it could make some money for charity. Right, John?
Exactly. You never, the moral of the story is you never know.
You never know. That's the story, and we give you a clap for that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, especially since, again, the reason why you wore it is functionality. You needed a hat.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
What, are you going to go to a baseball game and wear a colonial tricorn? No, I'm going to wear a baseball cap.
Unless you're going to a Patriots game, you could do that and fire off a cannon or something like that.
I would never do.
You'd never go to Patriots. John Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know how to make the turn. I'll just make it anyway. Wild Mountain Time is available in theaters and on demand this Friday. Christopher Walken, that had to be something. I know you're not in a lot of scenes with him, but that had to be quite something for you to be on a set with some royalty on that front, John.
Oh yeah, we shot this movie in Ireland, in County Mayo, Ireland, in a small town near a small town called Ballina, which weirdly enough is where Joe Biden's family is from.
Ah,
back in the days, so they were very excited about recent events. But it was an amazing opportunity to get to work with not only Chris Walken, but a guy named John Patrick Shanley, who wrote and directed the film, who's written such films as Moonstruck, Joe Versus the Volcano, Doubt. He's one of my kind of heroes of stage and screen from a writer. And I just wanted to meet him and work with him forever. And it turned out the feeling was mutual, and he offered me this part in this movie. And I thought, this is awesome because I get to work on the thing. Then B, this is awesome because I don't have to do an Irish accent. So it was a win-win for me. But then I read the script, and it's based on a play called Outside Mullingar that I had seen a long time ago that I really loved. And I thought he did a great job of adapting the script. And it's basically it's an old-fashioned movie. It's a fable. It's a love story that takes place in kind of outside of time in this magical part of Ireland that's really quite fanciful and beautiful and funny and fun. But really, it's just it's one of those rare things in the community today that just has no snark. It's just purely, it wears its heart on its sleeve and it's proud to do it. And so I've seen the film. It's very good. Emily Blunt and Jamie Dornan, who play the sort of star-crossed lovers at the center of the story, are phenomenal in it. Deirdre Malloy and Chris Walken, as you mentioned, play the mother and father of the two leads mentioned previously, and they're phenomenal. And then it's cast with an amazing sort of cast of characters. Barry McGovern is in it, who people will recognize from a lot of John Patrick Shanley's movies. It's just a beautiful film, and it's like for the holiday season, for what we've all been through for 2020, it is the perfect sort of tonic to when you sit down on the couch, or since no one can go to movie theaters, or maybe I don't know if you rent a movie theater, but if you sit down on the couch and load it up, it's an hour and a half of your time that you'll be very happy to. You'll feel good after. I think we all need.
Available in theaters if you can, or on demand this very Friday, December 11th. John Hamm, this is as delightful as I hoped it would be, and I knew it would be, quite frankly. Thank you, Jonathan.
Pleasure. Have a happy holiday if I see you you before then. My love to your family. I don't know, go Jets. That'd be amazing.
By the way, you better say that since you're the new defensive coordinator, John. I mean, you got to be all in. You got to be all in if this is it.
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When I take over this defense,
yes,
they're not a bad team, by the way.
Hmm.
When I take over this defense and start running it with some credibility, I'm going to get fired at the end of the season because we're going to end up losing Trevor Lawrence. We're gonna win out.
Yep.
We're going to bust out a bunch of people's suicide leagues.
Yep.
And I'm going to get fired.
Well,
because we're going to lose the number one pick.
There you go.
Right here first.
There you go. The voice of two all or nothings saying it's nothing.
All or nothing.
That's it.
There you go.
It's nothing is what John Hamm is saying. Thanks for the call, John. You take care.
You got it. Great talking with you, Rich.
Be right back at you. That's John Hamm, Wild Mountain Time. Everybody check it out in theaters and on demand this Friday, December 11th. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Love watching this guy play, man. Love it. As a diehard Yankee fan, I just knew when he took the ball, we were going to get his best. Just amazing. And his story, his life story, Under the Grapefruit Tree, the C.C. Sabathia story, premieres tonight at 9 Eastern time on HBO, available to stream on HBO Max. The great C.C. Sabathia here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, C.C.?
Good. What's going on, Rich? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. When did you decide to do this? I know it follows you around in 2019, right? So when did you decide to endeavor this project,
CC? Actually, I decided like at the end of 18. Going into 19, I knew I was going to retire. And then I had the scare of my heart where I had the stent put in my heart. And, you know, I was laying in the hospital room with my wife and just thought, like, you know, if I get out of here and get the pitch and, you know, get a chance to get the 3,000 strikeouts, the 250 wins, I thought it'd be cool to be able to document some of that stuff. You know, not for a documentary, but just for my family, just for us to have. And, you know, we started filming and got halfway through the season of stuff that we had and thought it'd be cool to kind of tell the whole story. You know, I had never talked about, you know, my stay in rehab really, you know, to a full extent like I am tonight. So I thought it'd be good to kind of tell the whole story of, you know, my life you know, HBO thought it was good enough to pick up, you know, Major League Baseball partnered with us. So I'm excited for people to see this tonight.
So the scare, 90% blockage, correct? In your heart,
mm-hmm.
C.C. Sabathia, what is that? Is that genetic plus just your diet and things like that?
It was
is that
genetic,
what it was?
And plus my diet. I actually was getting on a plane to go to London the day before they put the stent in, and the doctor told me if I get on that plane, I don't make it. So, I mean, you know, pitching at the weight I did in all of my 20s and, you know, most of my 30s, you know, put me in that position to have 90% blockage, and just lucky enough that I caught it when I did.
So was that for the London Games? Is that what you're saying before you went on there? Or I don't know if
I was
time
going out there to do, like, promo for the London Games.
Sure.
I was actually going for it was Man U was playing Liverpool, I think, and they had us going out there to do like a promo. It was actually me and Jackie Bradley, and I went. I was going out to the stadium actually to play catch because it was the off season, and you know just wasn't feeling well. And saw the trainer, and he called the doctor, and I got a stress test right away, and they were like, "You need to stay here. We got to put a stent in right away."
Wow! And now, how much weight have you lost now, CeCe? How many you
did? So when everything ended at the end of the season last year, I was about 311. Right now I'm down to 280. So, you know, I want to be around 275. I don't want to get like all frail and skinny looking. Last
frail.
Time I got down, I think the lowest I got was 263 in like 2014. But I was looking all like frail. So I want to, you know, try to keep my mass and my frame. But just lean out a little more.
Now, in all seriousness, do you think you needed to be 300 pounds to get the numbers that are Cooperstown worthy, CeCe? Do you think you needed to be
there? Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, it was kind of documented that way. You know, every time I try to lose weight, I just didn't respond, like, you know, for whatever reason. And, to be honest, my knee got worse. You know, we would lose the weight to try to take pressure off my knee and, you know, different things. But, you know, every time I got really small, my body seemed to hurt more and my knee seemed to hurt even more. So, you know, yeah, pitching in between 305 and 290 was, you know, optimal for me.
So let's talk career here. CC Sabathia, HBO's Under the Grapefruit Tree. You know, the documentary is called that because you started learning how to throw by grabbing grapefruits. Was at Vallejo, California, right? Where where you grabbed grapefruits in your grandmother's yard and started throwing it. Why baseball? Do you think it was just your calling or what? What do you think?
It was definitely just my calling, but growing up in Vallejo, that's the sport we played. You know, we were good basketball players, good football players, but baseball was our sport, you know, starting even in like Little League. I mean, that was just, you know, all the dads out at the park, you know, all the kids. I mean, even like, you know, me as the T-ball, you know, kid, I would go out there and play the early game and then stay all day at the baseball field. So it was just like ingrained in us as kids that baseball was our sport. And yeah, I mean, baseball always came easier to me. You know, I played all three sports. I played soccer too, growing up, but baseball was just, you know, I could just go out there and do my thing always and felt very confident.
Were you always this size? I mean, how quickly did you become, you know, the grown-ass man you became?
You know what? I was big, but, I mean, I grew up around some big-ass kids, too, so I wasn't, like, the biggest.
Yeah.
You know, not until high school did I really, like, separate, to be honest, but all the way up until my freshman year, I was, you know, probably third or fourth biggest. I mean, even in high school, we had, you know, a 7-foot center, so I played power forward in high school.
Okay. All right. And then, obviously, you go to Cleveland and you start winning games and you start making a name for yourself. Why, ultimately, did it not work out with you in Cleveland? Was it a money situation? What was it, CC?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, that's just how they kind of play everything out, where, you know, they sign you early, never let you get to arbitration. And then, you know, it gives you some comfortability, like as a young player. But you never sign back there as a free agent, kind of like what Lindor is going through right now. You know, Santana went through it. I mean, we all, you know, every guy that comes up in that organization, you go through it, and you just know at a certain point you're either going to get traded or, you know, they're going to let you go because they can't afford to really sign free agents like that. They do a great job of, you know, raising talent and you know, their minor leagues is always great, but they just never really re-signed the guys.
And then you go to Milwaukee, 130 innings pitched in just half a season. Did they just squeeze every last bit out of you? Or did you think they overthrew you, just try to push the pedal to the metal knowing that you were going to go somewhere else? What do you think about
your Milwaukee
team?
Wasn't – I wish I could blame it on them. It wasn't them. It was me. I wanted the ball, you know. It was my decision. I went into Dale Swain's office and told him, you know, I'm going on 3 days rest when I figured out that Sheets couldn't go. You know, his shoulder was hurting. But that team, we had so much fun. That team was so close. And it's weird because, you know, I came up in Cleveland, spent 7.5 years there, really 10 years there because I got drafted when I was 17. And then I get to Milwaukee and I felt like I had been there for 10 years. And I didn't want the season to end. And, you know, I was feeling strong. Obviously, I was, you know, in the middle of my career. So I was like, you know what? Give me the ball. I'll go. I had no problem taking the ball. And that's why everybody always tries to blame it on Milwaukee. But it was more me wanting the ball. And you know, my agent was freaking out at the time. But yeah. I was feeling good and felt like I could win every game.
Well, I mean, you had to know in the back of your mind the Yankees were going to come hard at you anyway, no matter what, right? You didn't know that. You had to have.
Yeah, I knew that. And you know, even at the trade deadline, you know, we almost had something worked out before I went to Milwaukee. But, you know, I wanted to test the free agent market and, you know, get a chance to see what was out there. But they just blew everybody out of the water the first day of free agency and really just killed my market. And you know, this was the only place I could come.
Sure, absolutely. CC Sabathia here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think is your signature Yankee moment, CC? What do you got for me?
You know what I think people will always remember me by, and this is crazy because I don't want to be remembered by this, is hitting Jose Sucre, I think. I think people will always remember me by that. But, you know, for me, I just want people to remember me as I walked off, like just leaving everything out there. You know, I left my shoulder out there, my heart, my knee. You know, everything is literally, you know, out there in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. So I will want people to remember me how I walked off, hurting and giving them everything I got.
Most talented guy you played with, where you're like, that guy is a natural. Which one? Who is it? He could even
Robbie Alomar.
Okay. Why is that?
He just, his baseball IQ, not, I mean, we all know what kind of player he was, but his baseball IQ was off the charts. My rookie year, I win 17 games, and I'm the game three starter, I think, in the playoffs, and I'm pitching in Cleveland, and I'm nervous. First inning, I think I walked the bases loaded, maybe even walked in a run, and I remember walking off the field, and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Like, I was just, you know, I was 21 years old. I was super nervous. And Robbie comes up to me in the dugout, and he said, do not shake off Enar the rest of the game. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I'm calling the pitchers from second base. Don't shake them off. Don't think about nothing. Just throw what he puts down. And he called the game for the rest of the game. And I go six innings, give up two or three runs, and, you know, we win the game by a huge margin. But he literally called a whole playoff game for me from second base.
What about Judge? Talk to me about Aaron Judge, CeCe. What about him?
Judge is a beast, man. I think, you know, when he's healthy and he's right, you know, if he can play a full season, he's going to win the MVP. You know, if you know, 2017, if people not banging on trash cans, he wins the MVP that year. So, you know, he can do stuff on the baseball field that nobody can do. And I've never seen nobody hit a ball as hard as he can, consistently as he can, and have as many good as bat as he can. So it's just, it was all about health for him.
CeCe, you opened the door about banging on trash cans, and I know you speak your mind, certainly on this subject. I got to ask you, as a diehard Yankee fan, when Jose Altuve hit that home run in 2019, and that was the end of, I guess, your career, that was your last season in Major League Baseball, they show a shot of Aroldis Chapman, who's got, like, this little smile on his face, and I know a lot of Yankee fans were like, what's he smiling about? I knew exactly what I thought that smile meant. That's a smile of a pitcher. He goes, man, that kid, that hitter knew exactly what I was about to throw. Is that what that smile was? Is that, do you think, what that smile was?
I honestly don't know. And, you know, it's been so much speculation about 2019, but I don't know anything about 2019.
Okay.
You know, obviously we know it was evidence, and we know what happened in 2017. And that's the only thing I can really speak on. You know, I don't know what Chappie was thinking, what his expression was or anything like that, but, you know, I do know in 2017, if you watch, I feel like we were the better team. You know, when we got them in the Yankee Stadium, you know, when there wasn't any of that going on, you know, it wasn't even close. So, you know, that's the only thing that frustrates me.
So what do you say to people saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, then? What do you hear that when you say that, when you hear that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, getting my signs from second base is one thing. You know, I played the game for a long time, and, you know, getting my signs to second base is one thing, but actually live streaming the signs, that's something totally different. You know what I'm saying?
What do you say? Say that again? What's totally different?
Live streaming the signs. Like, when you literally are streaming the signs from the dugout, you know, that's something different than actually, you know, outsmart me out on the field and getting my signs from second base.
Right. But so you don't, you can't speak to whether you think deep down in your bones, CeCe Sabathia, Jose Altuve knew what was coming from Aroldis Chapman in that
game.
Man,
I honestly, Rich, don't know. And to be honest, I really don't care. I don't really care that much about 2017, to be honest, but it's just fun to keep bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. CeCe Sabathia here on the Rich Eisen Show. So this documentary, what do you want people to know about it? What are you most proud of Under the Grapefruit Tree, which is a dynamite doc that starts streaming tonight on HBO Max?
I think the biggest thing I want people to take from this doc is that if you need help when you're struggling with addiction, to definitely, you know, get help and seek it out. I think the hardest thing about, you know, going through addiction and facing addiction is actually telling somebody that you need help and, you know, actually facing the addiction. You know, the one thing that I think I'm most proud about this doc is being able to tell my dad's, you know, side of the story. You know, for the longest time, I think people, you know, tried to paint my story as my mom raising me as a single black mom, which, you know, for you know, 6 years of my life, she did, and she's an incredible woman, and I wouldn't be sitting here without her. But I want people to know how huge of a role my dad played in my life, and, you know, the dreams that he put in me, and, you know, it, you know, made me believe that, you know, I could pitch in the big leagues, and made me believe that I would, you know, win a Cy Young and be an All-Star, and, you know, pitch in New York and all these different things. So I'm excited for people to know that side of my story and get a chance to really know what my dad meant to me.
Okay. Before I let you go, how concerned about the Raiders are you? CC.
Man, very concerned. Should I be concerned? Do we need a new quarterback? Do we need a new coach?
No. Look at you.
Wow.
Okay. CC. Yeah, no, look, I asked him if he thought Altuve. No, that's the high heat. I understand what it's like to be brushed back. Obviously, I think Gruden is the right coach. I do believe that. Okay. Derek Carr had an incredible half a season. I have no idea what the hell happened in Atlanta and at the Jets. I don't know. I mean, it looked like
the same thing happened last year at the Jets. We lost by 4 touchdowns. We came here 6-3 to New York. I went to that game. I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. And I had to leave at halftime. Like the Jets, it's the same. The 2 years in a row.
Well, I mean, that history goes way back to before you were born, and maybe when I was born, but. I don't know, because Derek Carr was, CeCe, you saw it with your own 2 eyes. Derek Carr was a perfect extension of this offense. And if the offensive line, let's put it this way. Josh Jacobs is the real deal. Okay, we can agree on that. Darren Waller's the real deal.
Even Aguilar, too.
I think Aguilar has definitely been, resurrected. I think Abram's the real deal, even though he hasn't stayed healthy. I like Max Crosby. Yeah. I mean, there are some really good players that Mayock's putting in there, and I think Gruden knows what to do with them. I think Derek Carr might get one. Mariota certainly looked really good. He looked really, really good. And crazier things have happened. Just look at what happened where Mariota came from. You know, Tannehill has gotten the gig there. It could happen in Vegas. It really can.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even, I know Gruden likes older quarterbacks, even if,
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers comes up on the market a couple of years, I wouldn't be mad at that. But, I mean, like you said, Josh Jacobs is a beast. Waller is a beast. We got some good pieces. It's just frustrating to not be able to get over that hump. And the AFC is tough. I mean, our division is really, really tough because Herbert is going to be good. And obviously, Pat Mahomes is the best player in the league. So, it's going to be tough to be fighting out of the division every year, too.
And so, last one for you. What was it like being around Russell Wilson in spring training? What was that like?
Yo, Russ is awesome, man. He's a pro. Like, he was, takes it very serious. Obviously, it was good for, a lot of the young guys to see how hard he works. And
right.
He travels with all his, PTs and different things. And, he's getting his football work in before baseball. So, it was fun having him around to see how hard he actually, works at his craft. And it'd be great.
Hey, CeCe, congrats on Under the Grapefruit Tree, and as well as your podcast as well. If you ever need a guest, I'm more than happy to complete the home and home and have you back here. I really love the way you went about your business as a Yankee, and obviously before that, congrats on your doc, and I'd love to continue the conversation with you. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Rich, for sure. I would love to have you on the pod. I mean, me and Ryan, we've been doing it for 3 years now. We're just, trying to get good at it. So we'd love to have you on.
Anytime. If you want, I'll just, leave your number with our call screener, and then we'll connect. I'd love it.
All right, that'd be perfect. Great.
Thanks, CeCe. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got that. CeCe Sabathia, at CeCe _ Sabathia here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You guys are the bomb.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. In Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you were
doing. You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.